This hour of Phil Hendry is brought to you by Dynapep Micro Energy Shot.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I think in the great scheme of things, the amount of money that goes to...
Nice. A bit different to normal ice cream, I'd say.
These are not the most angry demonstrations there.
Part of me that is, because now I'm a free agent to go
pursue... And he pulled his pants down?
Yeah, that's what it is.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Radio for patriots, by patriots. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. We go places other talk shows wish they had the raw talent for, but they don't. This hour, a middle school teacher from Joyful Union Congregation will join us to talk about the television show Glee. I don't know what you think of this show. I think Glee is a classic example of a dollar bill not only ruling our lives. We already know that the dollar bill rules our lives. We know that we don't have enough of them these days. We know that we wish we could make more of them. In fact, we do make more of them, much to our discredit, but nonetheless... We know that even a dollar can help us rewrite our personal moral code. We can say, for a dollar, well, you know, I don't think it's that bad. Do we really believe that, or are we just trying to squeeze one more buck out of a day's work so we can go home a little bit fatter, a little bit healthier, maybe squeeze one more day of life out of this thing while we lose our souls? Am I putting too much on the television show Glee? Probably. It is, after all, just a TV show. And yet, to show young people, underage people, people under the age of 18, sexualized in fashion shows, showing themselves in undergarments, showing them in sexual behavior, I understand the producers of the television show want us to believe that they are trying to make us aware of these teen problems. But in the process of making us aware, are they trying to appeal to something prurient? I believe absolutely so. Our next guest is Clara Bingham. She is a middle school teacher from Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, California. We're going to be talking to her in just a second, but first off, I want you to listen to the Parents Television Council, appalled by last night's episode of Glee, where, among other things, two students asked their substitute teacher, played by Gwyneth Paltrow, for advice on making a sex tape. Let's listen to that scene.
Hey, can you help us out?
Yeah.
Lauren and I are going to make a sex tape.
So I can get a recording contract.
Wow, okay. Well, first, can I just say that I'm very impressed by not only your ambition, but by how comfortable you are with your own bodies.
You need to be comfortable when you look this good. You know what I mean?
Agreed. Now for the downside. Are you aware that because you're under 18 years of age, making and owning a sex tape could make you guilty of child pornography? Listen, guys, don't take this too hard, all right? These things just, they never work out well. My sex tape with J.D. Salinger was a disaster.
All right, amusing, yes. Perhaps there is a point to be made there, yes. Nonetheless, in the program, Gwyneth Paltrow then is in a scene where she does a dance number with the students. She's unbuttoning her blouse with the students and generally behaving in a very sexualized manner among these students. Tonight on Radio for Patriots, by Patriots, we have Clara Bingham. Clara, you are a teacher, and who better to go to than you? Yes, the parents, but you. What do you think of this television show Glee and how it is showing your environment, the environment of a teacher?
Well, first off, Mr. Hendry, I'm very grateful that you are having me on your program to talk about this.
Well, we're very happy to have you.
I think that as a teacher, especially a middle school teacher, that means I am responsible for the lives of young people who are adolescents or becoming adolescents. It's very important to maintain control and the attention of the class, to maintain the class's focus. These children go home. They watch these programs. They look at programs that are much worse.
Well, but my question is, what do you think of them going home and watching a show like Glee where the teacher's taking her blouse off and so on, and they're dancing around with teacher, and it's like, it reminds me of the video Hot for Teacher by Van Halen, which I don't know if you ever saw that, but it's basically a Playboy model. It's teacher, and then she strips, and she's in a bathing suit, and there's a bunch of 12-year-old boys going crazy.
It's the reality of the world we're living in right now. It is the reality of how television is showing the academic environment. It's also, I think, important to understand the children are going home and looking at this film, and what are we going to do to compete with that? And there is, in my opinion, a number of different ways, but I have to, as a teacher, keep their attention, and whatever is going to draw that. If they're using sex on television, I'm not going to use sex in the classroom. But if there is a way you can draw the attention of a young adolescent boy toward the front of the classroom by being more womanly, if you want to put it like that, we can do that. There's nothing having to do with sex at all. But if they go home and look at Glee, and they see Gwyneth Paltrow taking off her blouse or taking her brassiere off.
Well, I don't think she went that far, but she was taking off her top. What do you mean that you are more womanly? What does that mean?
It means, again, I have to live in the real world. I don't want to live in a world where, here's how it should be. I want it to be a certain way, but at the same time, I've got to reach these boys and the girls, too. So if I create more of a charged atmosphere without being overtly too crude, I don't want to be crude or lewd. But
what are you talking about? What are you doing?
I am not doing anything.
I forgive me, but what do you mean?
What I mean is charging the atmosphere without being crude or lewd. It means keeping the attention of the class, especially young boys. Because the girls don't be paying attention much more on the board. Trying to keep the boys' attention by charging the atmosphere and bringing a womanhood to the classroom.
Well, are you using these as code words, you know?
Jenny, I don't use code words, all right? That's something that you people made up.
And you people? You mean white people?
No, I mean conservatives. You're talking about code words.
No, I've heard the term code word used by liberals as well in terms of racism.
Well, I don't use code words. I say it right up front.
And all right, well, you're saying a charged atmosphere. What are you doing?
I am behaving as a woman. So
give me a for instance.
I don't like being told to go ahead and perform like a baboon. And
I didn't say anything of the sort, ma'am. All right.
I don't mean that in a racial way, but it sounds like you want me hopping around like a monkey on a cane. I'm not going to do that.
And I have not used those words at all. I'm asking you to give me an example of what you're doing in the classroom that you say charges it or creates more of a womanly atmosphere. You haven't used the word sex. I understand that.
Will I use the word sex, because that's not what we do. But I know we have to compete with what these children are looking at.
And so if you could give me, please, Ms. Bingham, an example.
An example of what I do, for instance, if I bend over to pick up a piece of chalk, I may do it in a manner in which I hold the pose for longer than a couple of seconds. What does that mean? It means if I bend over and I am reaching for a piece of chalk, I stay bent over one, two, and then up. So what I'm doing is I am adding to the atmosphere. I'm charging the atmosphere a little bit. Or I'll give you another example.
When you are bending over, the intent is what?
You know what the intent is, sir.
What is the intent? Is the intent you're bending over to pick up the chalk and you're holding it for, you said, two beats?
You bend over, and before you start telling me what it is I do for a living, sir,
Ms. Bingham, I don't intend to do that. I'm sorry if I offended you. I just want to know what you mean when you bend over for a piece of chalk. You're sitting there in front of a bunch of 12-year-old or 11-year-old boys.
I bend over for the chalk, sir. And as I grab the chalk, I stay bent over, beat one, beat two, and us. Now, what I am doing is I am showing the class that part of my posterior, which is going to charge the atmosphere. Most children are going to say, ooh, you know, that's Miss Bingham, and she's, you know,
She grosses me out.
She grosses me out. But if it can draw the attention of even 10% of the class, another example is if my, I pretend my pantyhose had gotten stuck, I'll reach up under my dress. And
is your back to the students?
Yes, my back is to them. Another example, I will, you were talking about Gwen Paltrow. I can open up the button, the top button on my blouse, run my hands across my chest. I won't run my fingertips across my chest with the button open. What this does...
But to me, that sounds like a sexually suggestive mood, or move, I should say.
That sounds like there is no sex involved.
Well, you're opening up the button of your blouse and running your fingers. You bend over, and the effect is to show your rear end to the class, and you're reaching up under your skirt to straighten pantyhose. Now, you know, I think it's very, very dangerous. You may call it charging the atmosphere. You may call it showing more womanhood. I think it's extremely dangerous, because what if you actually get one of these young men interested in you?
Well, a boy is going to be interested in a teacher regardless. A young man can be interested in a teacher if she is walking into the classroom every day, if she is a nun. You told me in one of our previous conversations that you had been attracted to a nun. And I remember thinking, my God, I've never heard of anything like that. I was very grossed out, and I heard about you being attracted to a nun, and I got grossed out.
All right, you got grossed out by me being attracted to a nun. Okay, but it happened. So if I'm attracted to a nun, what do you think a young boy may be very well ready to be attracted to a teacher that's reaching up under her skirt or bending over?
It is to maintain the attention of the class. If any of the children show any outward signs of being attracted or want to come on to me or ask me out or whatever, I will tell them what I expected them. I said, you don't even think about it. It's not for you. Just back off. That's what you have to do.
Clara Bingham has joined us. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And this show, you hear it all. And tonight we're listening to this teacher saying that she says she charges the atmosphere in her classroom. She, quote, introduces womanhood to it. In order for her to compete with TV shows like Glee, she has to bring some of that sexuality to her classroom. So she's bending over and holding her rear end there for 2 seconds. She's unbuttoning her blouse. And in my opinion, she doesn't want to use the word sexually charging the atmosphere. That's exactly what she's doing. And she does it because they have to do it these days to maintain the interest of the students. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, if you can stomach this line of reasoning tonight. 877-876-7445. We're going to get back into it here with Clara Bingham in just a minute and get to the bottom of this act, which is not about womanhood, it's about sex. The world famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, radio for patriots by patriots, and we're talking about the television program Glee, but really we're talking to Clara Bingham from Joyful Union Middle School in Bellflower, California, about the methods used by some teachers to maintain the interest of students who are going home and watching Glee, and they're going home and they're watching Skin, and they're going home and essentially watching a lot of programs that have sexed it up or sexualized it for kids. It's a tragedy, Ms. Bingham. I'm wondering, you're talking about in the classroom, how you will, quote, introduce, you will charge the atmosphere. You are not using the word sex. Why?
I do not believe, Mr. Hendry, that what I am doing has anything at all to do with...
Well, you, ma'am, I don't mean to interrupt you, but you're bending over and holding your rear end in the air for 3 seconds so kids are watching. You have... Well, tell me what a catcher's mitt is, because I heard this from a couple of teachers.
A catcher's mitt is something that is... Every teacher hugs a student, and I really resent it being brought up in this context.
Well, why do you guys call it a catcher's mitt?
When we hug a student... And we will give a student a hug, especially if they've had good scores. And oftentimes, the face or the head of that child will go between your chair. And we call that a catcher's mitt. Now, we employ that very, very sparingly.
And again, to give the child the sense that he is the object of some sexual attention.
No, it is not, sir. I'm a teacher.
And well, what is it for?
I told you, and I don't stutter. I said it...
I know you don't. I don't stutter either.
I said it is for charging the atmosphere, getting things going, getting it rocking and rolling, if you want to put a word on it. Let's rock and roll, and let's make this class a fun class. Let's make this a great learning environment. Look at Miss Bingham. She's bending over and showing us her butt. Whatever it takes so we can have a ball in class day.
And the catcher's mitt, is that where you hug a kid and you press his head between your chest and this is for this child? You don't think this child is going to get the wrong message?
The wrong message about having to pay attention to class? No, I don't think he's going to get the wrong message. Is he going to fall in love with me? I can tell you, Mr. Henry, if I get approached by any of these kids after hours when I'm off the clock, I tell them what I can assure you, it's no different than if you were to go up to a young lady that danced in one of these nightclubs and you said, I love you, I want to marry you because you're so beautiful and you dance for me. What would she say? She'd say, get away from me and push off, you pathetic creep. Well, it's the same way with these students. I'm putting on an act. And
you tell a kid to push off, you pathetic creep?
I know I don't put it that way, but I say, that's me in my work clothes. Now, you boys just get out of here, you know. Bug off, and don't bother me. I'm here about teaching.
All right, I wanted to ask you about some parents, and I will, because I know that at least one student went to their parents, and you had a meeting with them. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Michael in Visalia, California. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hi, Phil. I've never listened to your show before. This is my first time tuning in, and you got my interest when you were talking about the show Glee. But I really want to veer away from that and direct my comments to the issue at hand right now with this teacher. I'm a middle school teacher for 26 years.
Yeah.
I work with seventh graders. I work with all grades, but primarily seventh graders. And I think it's an anathema. It is despicable that another educator, someone in the same profession with me, would indignify her, would stoop to such low levels to draw the attention of students.
What are we supposed to do in this day and age to try to get these students to concentrate?
You know what?
And
you know what?
I'm
saying that if I was your supervisor, if I was in a position where I was overseeing you as an educator and I became privy to this information, if I was aware that this was going on in the classroom, in other words, you know, we teach our kids the ends do not justify the means. So if I'm, you know, if I'm poor and I'm hungry, that doesn't make it right for me to go and steal food from the grocery store just because I'm poor. It still doesn't make stealing right.
If you have children to feed, I think the stealing is absolutely right. If you have children to feed, of course you'd steal. And
no.
Of course you steal.
No,
you,
the
children.
Ends,
you let
no,
those
either,
children. You let the children starve. You let your children starve.
Okay.
No. I don't think
here.
You would.
My point.
And
my point
is
that
these children starve either. Even if I got to show my butt.
Point.
Oh,
no,
come
listen,
on.
The children. All right, look. The children are starving. Here's what they're starving for, Ms. Bingham.
They're starving for
acceptance. They're starving for affirmation. They're starving
and
positive attention. They're starving to be given credibility, to be heard.
Exactly.
They're not starving for someone to appeal to their prurient interests. They're not starving for someone to...
I'm trying to get them to pay attention.
Listen, if you're sticking your butt in their face and you're doing things in a classroom to arouse them, you are going through it by the wrong means. We need to be teachers of passion. No, we need... Listen, if you're holding...
Look at Miss Bingham, her big butt in the
air. If you're showing body parts that are supposed to be covered by...
Yeah, it's a wrong thing. I agree with you, Michael. I got to take a break. 877-876-PHIL. You heard that, teacher. And Ms. Bingham will give you a chance to respond. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Hey, look at Ms. Bingham. Her big butt's in the air.
Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Coming up next hour is our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard, and we'll have a full hour of news for you and the big events in the world right now. With me is Clara Bingham from Joyful Union Congregation that is in Bellflower, California, as we continue to talk about the television program Glee. But more importantly, and you heard the teacher, Ms. Bingham, we're talking about teaching, and we're talking about appropriate teaching methods, and we're talking about you and others who you know of in the teaching profession who've decided to, I'm going to use the word, sexualize the atmosphere in the classroom to compete with shows like Glee. And you heard your colleague say that it was anathema, that it was despicable, and that it appealed to the prurient interests of the students.
And I have to say, with all due respect, I think that is what a man would say. But and he refused to hear that we're clowning. And when I say I'm clowning, does it sound like a young man is sexually attracted when he goes home to his parents and says to them, Ms. Bingham had a big butt up in the air today? Now,
there was one of your students went to his parents, correct?
One of my students did not understand entirely.
What happened?
I'd been over to pick up a piece of chalk, and I believe he leaned into my rear end because I wasn't anywhere. I was in front of his desk. And he said it was right in his face. How is that possible? But I was in front of the desk.
All right, so the parents come and visit you.
The parents came and visited me. I demonstrated for them what I did. The woman, predictably, because women have issues with other women, was very irate. The father was pretending like he might have a problem, but you could tell he thought it was... I could see a smile on his face. And forgive me, but... he had his hands in his pocket.
I don't understand.
All right, well, then, I'm not going to explain it, but I'm just going to say he had his hands in his pocket.
I don't understand what you mean. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Speaking with Clara Bingham on teachers using sexual methods to keep the attention of the class. Amy in Boston listening on WTKK. Go ahead, Amy. Hello, Amy. Is the caller in Boston there? I think I heard her making noise. We'll put her on hold and see if she comes out. She's gone. Let's go to Terry in Atlanta. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Terry, go ahead.
Yes, sir. First-time listener.
Yes, sir.
This conversation just blows me away. As I was saying earlier, if I had the opportunity to go to her school, I would be up there protesting her. She has no business being a teacher. I have two daughters, and I can promise you she was talking about this lady being upset with her and this guy with his hands in his pocket. It'd probably be the other way around. My wife would probably be trying to drag her out, and I'd be out there refereeing, because this is what's wrong with our kids today. They're being promoted and demonstrated stuff that should be done at the house by their parents if it's going to be done at all. Not by
you are missing the point. You didn't even listen to what I'm saying. I'm not giving a sex education class. I'm trying to keep the attention of the class. I stick my big butt in the air. Big deal. Now, the husband...
No, it is a big deal.
He was playing pocket pool.
It is. I don't care what he's playing. That was inappropriate for the parents and the kids. You shouldn't even be teaching the school. It sounds like you are the one that needs some help, because you're teaching kids stuff that shouldn't be taught at 12 years old or 8 or 10 or whatever. You shouldn't even be allowed to even talk to them.
They asked me to demonstrate, and I did. And let me tell you something, because you parents have all kinds of opinions, but you see your children having their attention drawn by these television programs and so on and so forth. When they come into our classroom, we have to employ every means at our disposal to try to get their attention. So what if I reach up under my skirt?
Every means that is disposable to you is to teach our kids the right ways to do things. That's the reason why we have issues and problems. You're not teaching them. You're showing them what not to do.
They're coming from their homes where they're being bored to tears, and they come and then they want to be excited.
What do you mean they're
bored to tears? So now you're blaming it on their homes, and you're teaching them.
No, I'm simply saying they're coming from homes where, I don't know about you, sir, but the kids are bored to death by their parents. So they come to us and they say,
I can tell you this, I've got two daughters that we've been homeschooling since they was little. Because of people like you.
Oh, my God.
And there is no way that I would ever allow my girls to even see you or be in your classroom.
This is why one of the reasons why people are homeschooling their kids.
You know why children grow up to be dull? Kids grow up to be dull because they were homeschooled. They're dull. I'm not saying they're bad. They're not bad, but they're dull.
Well, dull, huh?
I got news for you. Neither one of mine's dull, and none of mine would ever... None of my kids would ever present themselves like you have to other people.
You should be banned from teaching. I'd like to ask you, but I want to ask you a question. Be honest. Are your kids boring?
Are my kids boring? No.
Are they boring?
Are they what?
Are your children boring? Are they dull? Are they uninteresting?
No.
Well, what kind of a question is that to ask of a father? Every parent is proud of their kids.
No, but I want you to be objective. Aren't your kids dull because they were homeschooled? And that's what we try to avoid in the classroom. We don't want kids growing up to be self-fluorized nerds.
Let me tell you something. My oldest daughter just got married. She's 22 years old. When she got married, she had never had sex. How many students in your class that you're presenting stuff to do you think that could do that? Huh? This child was homeschooled. She had values and she had respect.
If the father believes his daughter.
Does she wear glasses? Your daughter wears glasses, doesn't she?
Yes, so she sure does. She wears contacts.
She's a four-eyed nerd. That's what you grew up to be.
Don't call people names. You sound like a great family, so I got to take a break. Thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Tom in Topeka, Kansas. Tom, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Clara Bingham.
Yeah, I just wanted to let Miss Bingham know that what she is doing is violation of the law. She could be construed as attempted sexual assault, unlawful sexual act, sexual enticement of a juvenile. It's also violation of her ethics. Ma'am, let me finish.
I smell cop.
What does that mean, I smell cop?
Yes, you know I am. 25-year investigator.
I knew it.
Well, listen to what the man's saying.
You know, ma'am, not only have you violated the law, but you broke numerous ethics as being a teacher.
I want to ask you a question. If I'm breaking the law and Gwyneth Paltrow is on TV in a classroom taking her brassiere off, how come she ain't under arrest? I'll tell you why. Because of her age. Because I'm black.
Because of her age? Gwyneth Paltrow? Well, first of all, it's a performance. She's not really sexually harassing anyone. We have no idea what's going on in that soundstage. And second, what do you mean because you're black?
Gwyneth Paltrow is a blonde-haired, skinny, white girl. I'm a black woman. I put my rear end in the air in a classroom. Of course, someone's going to hit a buzzer. Of course, someone's going to step on a button and get the police there. And I believe, as we try to educate our children and make them smarter and less dull, like the gentleman that I just talked to sounded like a very good father, but he's homeschooling his children. And research shows us that when you homeschool your child, they grow up to bore everyone. And the children that we teach are exciting. They're ball players. They go into martial arts, all kinds of exciting professions, jet pilot, test pilot. So
your job is to educate, protect, and to have a safe and quality environment for an education. You need to engage and demonstrate
my
positive
caller.
Behavior, not negative behavior.
Absolutely, sir. Thank you very much, officer, for the call. 877-876-PHIL. Clara Bingham on the line with us. I just listened to a whole soliloquy there from you, Ms. Bingham, which was beyond belief.
What was the fact that my students are interesting?
Oh, the fact that your students are jet pilots, and I don't know what that means. Then you went on to say that homeschooling makes a kid dull and bores everyone in the room. I don't know what research you're looking at, but it's one thing to do what you do, and we can debate that. It's another thing to say that if a parent chooses to remove their children from this environment and homeschool that kid, that they're doing something that's going to destroy that child's mind.
Well, that's exactly what they're saying about me and my technique, Mr. Henry. They're saying that because of what I do, I am somehow warping a child or making that child into some kind of a pimp or a married man who is stuffing dollar bill or $5 bill or this kind of thing at a place called a booby trap, you know, and he has a family at home. And
what are you talking about?
I'm talking about with this thing, what I do, I'm turning men into the kind of guys that bar hop one strip joint to another. But I say that if you homeschool a child, and this is my very firm belief, if you homeschool a child, that child has a 70 to 80% higher chance of growing up to become the most dull creep. Words fail me.
Well, you haven't given us any reason for that. All I know is that you think sticking your rear end into some kid's face, which is what you said you did, and that's what those parents came to talk to you about, is somehow superior to homeschooling. And I'm trying to get you to the point now. What you've done is you've surrendered to this. You've surrendered. You've said, well, if Glee does it and it works for Glee, then we'll do it. Here is Justin in Tyler, Texas on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Justin.
I think it's totally not... It's not, you shouldn't be putting your students' heads in between your boobs. And if you're trying to get them to pay attention, that's the wrong way.
Why is
that? If your student comes to you.
I can't get the kids to pay attention in any other way. And so we give them a hug. We call it a catcher's mitt. All right? And the kids.
A hug is fine, but if you give your student a hug and put his hand between your breasts, that's unnecessary. If you were out of school and your student grabbed your rear end, would you be mad?
I, not only would I be mad, I'd probably take something very heavy and try to break his skull.
Well, then what are you talking about?
Well, the student might not be mad because you're putting his head in between your breasts, so he thinks it's all right. The only
thing
you're going to be paying attention to with you doing that is your breath.
Why is he grabbing
you're
my
not
rear
worried
end?
About learning if you're going to be sticking your head between your boobs?
I'm not sticking my head between my own boobs.
I'm that's saying the, you heard
the
what he said.
Head between your boobs.
I don't know where that child... You said the kid grabbed my rear end, which means
if
that you're stuck his head...
your student's head in between your breasts...
He grabbed my rear end. That means I shoved their head between something else, which is not likely.
Oh, come on. Well, yeah, you know what the young man's saying. He's saying that you're sexualizing the atmosphere of that classroom to the point where those kids are going to think that that's okay to do.
Well, I have to, and this young man's name is Justin. Is that your name, sir? Justin?
What? Yeah.
Your name is Justin. Is that all right? Were you homeschooled?
Yeah.
You were homeschooled.
No, I was not homeschooled. I went
all
to
right.
high school.
Okay, good.
And you know how I know you were not homeschooled? You're not a dull creep. You sound like a very interesting man. Now, I want to ask you, let's cut out all the small talk and talk about if you were in the classroom and Ms. Bingham is up there trying to get the attention of the class, and I bend over to grab some chalk, and my rear end's up in the air for about one, two, three, four, and then up. And suddenly the class settles down and is paying attention to me. You gonna say I did something bad? Come on.
No, I'm not saying you're doing something bad. You're right. You know what? If you're going to bend over and kids hitting your puberty or whatever's going on, they're going to look. What you put in their head between your breasts, that's not encouraging them not to look and pay attention to class. That's encouraging them to stay.
I don't agree. And the other thing is, at least they're not going to grow up like they was homeschooled, see?
And oh, boy, you want to do everything to avoid a kid being dull. You're going to sexualize this kid. They're going to grow up and they're going to go out and have sex. They're going to have 15,000 kids before they're 20.
Oh, boy, you really think low of Mexicans, don't you?
I'm talking about any kind of kid, Mexicans.
I would say this to you, Justin. You sound like a good young man. But I think this happened to you. Was your head pressed in between a... Were you... I have to ask this delicately. Were you the ball in the catcher's mitt?
No, this has never happened to me. I had a relationship with one of my teachers. It was wrong. I know it was wrong, but I still,
Woo!
If it was my
no
kid,
kidding.
I would not
no
want
kidding.
It to happen.
You did, man? What was this in high school?
Oh, look at Mr.
Yes,
Henry trying to get his jollies.
I'm not trying, I'm asking a young man a question to get my jollies. So it was in high school with a teacher. Did you report her, or is it just something that has gone by the boards?
No, I did not report her. Nothing ever got found out about it, but I know it was wrong. My kids, I would not want it happening with my kids. I knew it was wrong for me, so I cut it out.
No kidding.
I think, you know what? I think that right there, you said you didn't report it. That means to me, you were in a catcher's mitt, all right, but I also think you might have been a ball bearing.
All right. Hold on. Thank you very much for your call. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876. Phil, what do you mean a ball bearing?
Well, I said, when you hug a child and you press his head, that's a catcher's mitt.
Yeah.
Well, a ball bearing is when his head gets wedged. He talked about that.
Oh, all right. 877-876-Phil. Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder? You know, I respect teachers. But we not only have a student and parent problem, we got a teacher problem. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Clara Bingham, talking about how to keep the attention of children in school when they go home and watch shows like Glee. What does she do? Puts her ass up in the air and gives them a catcher's mitt. The Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. As we continue to fight that good fight, with us here is Clara Bingham from the Joyful Union Congregation Middle School. Ms. Bingham, you have not connected very well, I don't think, with the parents tonight concerning this issue. You are a teacher who believes in a certain method that is, in my opinion, and I'm giving this the best possible spin, that is highly inappropriate. You've got parents out here, though, that think that one of these people thought you should be arrested. And, of course, that was the police officer that came on the line from Topeka, and the first thing you said to that man was, I smell cop.
Well, Mr. Henry, I have been listening to people calling your program. I know when a phone call is set up. I think you set that call up.
And I don't set up any calls, ma'am.
I'm telling you, how is it then that I can smell cop?
I don't know how you can smell cop. But and I want to get to the essential thing. We're talking about parents. Those parents were upset because you demonstrated for them what you do in the classroom.
I absolutely did, and I'm very proud of it, too. I would do it again. and I have the music. The children know that what I am doing is more of a clown act. Yes, I'm swinging my rear end. I'm swinging my rear end around. We're pulling a catcher's mitt, maybe ball bearing too. But I've never, ever been inappropriate. Now, I have the music, and
you're give us a demonstration of this, right?
I am going to talk you through what I do during these dances. And this is a dance that I'll do on a Friday afternoon, try to get the attention of the kids. This is in addition to what we call freeze frame, which was when I put my rear end in the air. Catcher's mitt. All right. And then Heart of Darkness.
Now, what is Heart of Darkness?
That's when I reach up under my dress. And,
oh, okay.
Now, here is the song that... Okay. I start this song, and I'm swinging my rear end back and forth as I'm walking to the desk to get a pen, and then I freeze my butt now.
What a wonderful day.
Then I turn, I pivot, and I begin walking back. I'm walking back slowly, one foot in front of the other. And now a ballet leg kick. Now I swing around, bend over, and pick up the chalk. One, two, three, button ear. Now, I reach...
Phil Henry.